Do you ever have a hard time separating needs and wants? Do you sometimes find yourself consumed by the desire to have and do more and more? Anyone here have too much stuff? When is it enough? What is enough? I came across the Global Rich List this week. You can go and look at it yourself. And what's interesting here, in this site, you can enter your own personal annual income, and then you can find out how many of the world's people are richer than you are and how many are poorer than you are. And all of us know that when we compare ourselves with the rest of the world, we are a whole lot richer than we think. For example, according to the Global Rich List, an annual income of $35,000 would put you in the top 1% of the world's people. Does that shock you? How do you feel about that? As some of the world's richest people sitting here, we have some choices to make. Choices that are going to impact other people's well-being, choices that are going to impact our own sense of contentedness. What really brings contentment to our lives? Is it material things? Or, once our basic needs are met, does contentment really have not a whole lot to do with money and possessions? Think of it this way. If your house were burning down, or you knew a flood was coming, and you only had a few moments to gather those things that are most important to you, and you know that everything else is going to be destroyed, what would you take? Would you take the dog, good choice. Would you take your large screen television? Or would you take pictures and mementos of your loved ones? It's not our possessions that ultimately bring us contentment. We know that it is so much more relationships that give our life purpose and meaning, right? I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you be willing to give up huge financial resources? Wouldn't you be willing to give up almost everything that you have materially if it meant a loved one who is dying or has died could live? Wouldn't you? I would. You know, when my whole family is gathered together for a meal, that's priceless. When I go down to Park Point with my two nephews and I watch them play, that is abundance. When I have the opportunity to serve my mom and dad communion right here, that's riches. No amount of money can purchase that kind of contentedness. Jesus says in Luke 12, read it with me, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And we know that's true. Every one of us would agree that one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. But you know what? Everywhere we look around, people are trying to tell us differently. And it can be so easy for us to find ourselves caught up in a state of discontent, never fully satisfied, always having this nagging emptiness in our lives. The moment we acquire something, rather than enjoying it for long, we soon want something more. And then we live in a certain state of discontent. Actually, did you know that there is a certain state of discontent that God wants us to live in? That God even created us to live in? You see, God actually wired us to feel a certain sense of discontent so that we will seek the only one that will truly satisfy, the only one that will fill that inner void within us. God wants us to be content with some things and discontent with other things. But we tend to get those things confused. We tend to get discontent with the things that we were created to be content with, and we tend to get content with those things that we really should be very discontent with. James McIntosh, the Spanish philosopher and politician of the late 18th and early 19th centuries, said it this way: "It is right to be contented with what we have, but never with what we are." Think about it. We need to be a little bit discontent with our moral character, with our spiritual life, with our desire for justice, with our ability to love. These are areas that we need to keep growing, we need to keep developing and improving. We are meant to yearn for God more and more, to cultivate a deeper prayer life, to pursue justice and holiness more and more, to love others more, to grow more in grace with each passing day. The problem comes in that we tend to be content in our involvement of pursuing justice in the world, with our level of morality, with our ability to forgive, with how much we love others, with our relationship with God, with our giving heart to God and others. We can easily be satisfied in those areas of our lives that we really need to feel some discontent in order to grow and mature. In the same way, those things that we ought to be content with are the same things that so often we find ourselves discontent. We experience discontentment with our homes, TVs, cars, computers, ability to travel, our jobs, our houses, our coworkers, even our parents, our children, our spouses. So we look for more and we look for better and new. And this kind of discontent leads to relational and ethical trouble, gets us caught up in that terrible web of consumerism. So what can we do? The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of our New Testament, is a wonderful example of a person who evidenced the quality of being content. He wrote in Philippians chapter 4, 12, read it with me: "I have learned to be content with whatever I have, in whatever circumstances I'm in." Have you learned that? Have you learned the peace and joy that comes when you can be content no matter what? Did you know that when Paul wrote those words, he was sitting in prison in Rome, awaiting word of the date of his execution? Don't you think he knew something about being content if he could experience it even in that kind of circumstance? Scripture gives us a wonderful promise. Scripture tells us that no matter what is going on in our life, no matter how painful or scary or difficult it may be, Scripture promises us that we can find Paul's kind of contentedness no matter what. That's a gift from God. Here are four keys to contentment that just might help us. First, if we want to be content, we need to develop a spirit of gratitude. A grateful heart recognizes that life is a gift, and it recognizes that life eternal is an even greater gift. Contentment comes when we spend far more time giving thanks for what we have than thinking about what we don't have. And then when we really begin to be grateful, and when we make it a spiritual discipline to express gratitude, you know what happens? Over time, our hearts are changed, and we feel more and more contentment. Number two, whatever the situation, remember that it could be worse. Author John Ortberg says that there are four words that we should say anytime and every time that we're discontent, and it is this: it could be worse. Say that with me. It could be worse. So in your car, your brand new car needs a new transmission, say, When your children or your parents don't seem to appreciate you or what you say, say, when you go to work and you're faced with problems and difficulty and disappointment, say, when you look at your spouse across the dinner table, say, maybe you don't want to say that if you really want contentment. The truth of the matter is that no matter what situation we are in, we can find something good to focus our minds in, and no matter what situation we're in, we can find something to complain about. It's a choice. And what we choose to focus on, it greatly impacts our sense of inner contentment. Benjamin Franklin said it this way: contentment makes poor men rich, but discontentment makes rich men poor. That is really true, isn't it? Third, ask yourself, will this make me happy for long? Have you ever bought something thinking it was really going to make you happy, going to change your life for so much good, and did for a little while, but then you found that the happiness was kind of short-lived? Many things that we purchase, they bring us some degree of happiness, they really do, but they don't continue to bring satisfaction over a longer period of time, and so often they're not worth the time and the expense. So ask yourself, how long will this make me happy? And then finally, ask yourself, where does my soul find true satisfaction? Do you ever wonder that? Where your soul finds true satisfaction? The world answers this question by telling us that satisfaction and peace comes in ease and luxury and comfort and in money. But the Bible? The Bible has a very, very different answer. Throughout all the pages of Scripture, we learn that human beings were created to find true satisfaction and contentment and holiness and wholeness in God. We were created for God. There is an emptiness, a vacuum in our hearts that only God can fill, and we try to fill it with so many things. But don't we know in the core of our being that only God can eternally fill that? The psalmist says it this way in Psalm chapter 63, "O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul literally thirsts for you." And Psalm 42 says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God." The Apostle Paul, he named his sense of contentment in Philippians 4 when he says this: I'll be more content, Kyle, if you change the slide. Oh, I didn't write it in there. He says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." You can feel content in knowing I was wrong and you weren't. He says, "I can do all things. I can face all things. I can handle all things. I can deal with all things." Why? Because God gives strength. Paul's relationship with Christ enabled him to be content no matter what was happening in his life. And that same relationship with God enables us to have strength and hope and purpose and joy in life no matter what. But it doesn't come from this world. It comes from God. The deepest needs in our heart are to be connected with the God who created us. We need to believe that our lives really and truly have meaning, that there is grace and mercy when we fail and fall. We need to believe that there is hope, even in our darkest circumstances, that we are loved unconditionally by someone who knows us even better than we know ourselves, and we need to be able to share this love in meaningful relationships with other people. That's why we come together as a church, to find God here, to experience God here, and then to go out into the world and share it with each other and with all people. And that is why Jesus said that the two most important things that we can ever do in life, if we remember nothing else, the two most important things to remember are this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if we keep these two commandments, we're really going to know deep inner peace and contentment within. Choosing contentment. That doesn't mean having a lot of money and wonderful things is wrong. It doesn't mean that we should stop buying things or stop traveling. It doesn't mean that we should move into cramped homes or apartments or always buy used cars. It's really not about things at all. A lot of things or little things. Rather, choosing contentment means remembering that it is only in nurturing our relationship with God that our deep inner void within us can be filled. Choosing contentment means having genuine appreciation and gratitude for what we do have and enjoying it. Choosing contentment means asking God to give us the right perspective about our possessions, our money, and our things. Choosing contentment means deciding to live simpler lives, wasting less, conserving more. Choosing contentment means giving generously, knowing that it is indeed better to give than to receive. Next Sunday, we're each going to be asked to make a financial commitment as well as a commitment of our time and talents, gifts, and service to God to carry out through this church in the year 2018. Did you know that in addition to making the ministries of this church happening by offering your gifts, that as we offer our gifts to God, it's also a way for us to cultivate that deep inner contentment? You see, when we focus our attention on getting and spending and accumulating, the pleasures are there, they're there indeed, but there comes a point where we're saturated, where it consumes us, and even though we have much, we feel greater and greater discontent, and we find ourselves spiritually and relationally empty. But when we intentionally, when we generously, when we even sometimes sacrificially give, when we focus on the needs of others, when we focus on God, when we look at the big picture of what really matters, on who we are and who we want to be, then we begin to find contentment. And we begin to find ourselves relationally and emotionally and spiritually being filled. Let's think on that as we pray this week about what gift we will give. In fact, let's pray right now. Let's all close our eyes and offer ourselves to God. God, it is so easy for us to be unsatisfied, to want more and more. Would you forgive us for this kind of spirit of discontent? Remind us what Jesus said, that our lives don't consist in the abundance of our possessions. Help us to be grateful for what we have and to remember that true contentment is found in sharing love with you and others. Help us to be discontent with those things that keep us from more fully loving and serving you and others, and help us to be content without always needing more and more. We offer ourselves. We offer all that we have and all that we are to you. In your name we pray.